time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Yeah, that's right. He is on, isn't he? Yeah, that's me. Oh, yeah. It's another day, folks. Yes, another day in the neighborhood. And have you noticed what? There's a commercial, I think it's for the Ohio Lottery, showing a man in a red sweater, kind of thin build, and I know what they're trying to portray. It's Mr. Rogers. Yeah, you check that out. Check the Ohio Lottery commercial, other than the one that Mike DeWine is doing. Is he doing? Yeah, he's doing a lottery, isn't he? Yeah, it's in Steubenville, the big show coming up. But this guy in the red sweater and a tie and so forth, it's Mr. Rogers. Imitation, of course. So, have you ever thought of that? Okay, well, if you haven't, now you have. Now you can think of it. So what I have to give away today, the usual, I got zoo tickets. I got more zoo tickets than Carter had kidney pills. Speaking of kidneys. Oh, my. Okay. And then I've got Bill Huntsman. Bill Huntsman Auto Service, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil. Bill Huntsman Auto Service, 624 East Church. Okay. Now let me see what else is going on today. Oh, wow. Well, let's see. I slept off and on last night. What was I dreaming? I'm trying to think what I was dreaming of last night. Every night I have a different dream. They're kind of goofy. What was it last night? Oh, I thought I'd remember it. But now I've forgotten already. But every night is something different. Oh, my. How about you? Do any of you ever have goofy dreams? Or do you sleep all night long without dreaming? That would be something, wouldn't it? How much time does it take to have a dream? I understand it's not much. A few seconds. Although, how could it be a few seconds when you lay awake or you wake up in the morning and you're still thinking about that dream? Oh, I was trying to... What was I thinking of? I'm trying to remember. Well, I never will, unless it pops into my mind, what I was dreaming about last night. But it seems like every night it's something different. Then some nights I don't, you know, dream at all. How about you? Do you ever have nightmares? I never have nightmares. I think you can avoid a nightmare by being in a pleasant atmosphere before you go to bed and not watching those horror movies. You know, the killings and the Halloween stuff, the blood dripping and ugly faces and all that stuff. That's not good for people. Not good at all. I mean, I'm not superstitious. I don't think any of that has to do with the devil. But it just has to do with some creative minds that want to make things look gruesome. And they do that. Gruesome indeed. But yet, here we have all these murders that take place, like the latest one down in Dayton. Blood all over the place. And yet, we portray that as something with Halloween. Isn't it? Really, we're a nutty bunch, aren't we? Yes. Oh, my. But, yeah, this whole month October is devoted to the weird and the ugly. I'll be glad to get in November when we concentrate more on the pilgrims. The pilgrims, the men with the tall black hats and the belt buckle around the hat. Well, I've told this story so many times, I tend not to repeat what I've heard. But I was in Plymouth, Massachusetts. I conducted a tour of the East Coast. I had two buses that I was managing, and one was from Seattle, Washington, believe it or not, full of ladies, older ladies. In fact, my bus was full of people from Marion, older people, and we stopped at Plymouth Plantation. And so I got to walk all around there because that was my era. You know, I'm a colonial shingle maker, and I fit right into something like that. And so after I toured all these people in their mud huts or whatever you call it, I asked, there was a lady, she looked like she was of some prominence, and I said, ma'am, I need some information. She said, well, I'm the librarian here at Plymouth Plantation. I said, okay, what about these men that wear these tall black hats, kind of cone-shaped on top, with a belt buckle around them? She laughed. She said, and I wasn't the only one that ever asked that question, I guess, but it never happened. She said all the clothing that people wore back in that era, which would be 400 years now, no one really remembered or had any pieces of the clothing that people wore. This is all somebody's imagination. She even quoted the man who came up with the belt buckle on the hat. That's right. That was some man's invention. And yet today, in schools and elsewhere, people are portrayed with those tall hats with a belt buckle around them. Yeah, it is kind of funny. It makes life interesting, doesn't it? And now, one of the people that was at Plymouth Plantation 400 years ago, let me see, 1620, 400 years ago would be 2020, yeah. There was somebody from Marion very prominent there, and I've told this story before, so if you get tired of listening, just plug your ears. But there was a very famous man from Marion that went to Plymouth Plantation 100 years ago to greet and give a long speech, and there were 3,000 people involved in the anniversary of Plymouth Plantation. And this man from Marion was there as the keynote person. Who was he? Warren G. Harding. He arrived by United States battleship. I've got pictures of it. And you can get these off the internet if you search long enough. Yeah, you can pick up President Harding getting off the ship and coming up to give a speech. I even have copies of all the events there for that. At that time, it was the 300th anniversary of the founding of Plymouth Plantation. But it is kind of interesting. Yeah, Warren G. Harding was there. Now, what would you give the president for a prize or for a gift if he came to see you on such a monumentous occasion? Well, they gave W.G. the model of the Plymouth, the Mayflower. Was it the Mayflower? Yeah. And so that was in his house, and it took me a while before I understood why that was in his house, that model. And then I did some research on the internet and found out that's what they gave him when he visited Plymouth, Massachusetts back in the year 1920. Yeah, a little bit of history here. You know, history is interesting if you don't make it boring. Oh, there's nothing worse than boring history. Now, Randy Winland has published this book on Crystal Lake Park. Hopefully that will quiet people down with information that they won't have to make up stories. it's all there in the book. And that's good. I credit Randy with highlighting American history that's never been highlighted like that before. And it was a short term. I mean, Crystal Lake Park wasn't there forever. It came about back in the, it was after Harding became, it was in 1924, I think, somewhere around there. It's in the book when it started. But yes, all that information would, long after Harding left the scene. But people have been talking about it for years like it was there for 100 years. And now they all know. They've got pictures. And tonight at Tri Rivers, Randy Winland will be speaking and showing slides of Crystal Lake Park. Now, I've got programs from Crystal Lake Park from the 1920s, dance programs. The Marion City Fire the City Police sponsored a yearly dance at Crystal Lake Park. They did. That would have been in the late 1940s. And I've got copies of the bands, pictures of the bands, and also pictures of all the policemen. I have to dig those out. Since it's now current, I mean the information, I'll dig that out and have it, well, I don't know what I'll do with it, but I've got it. I've got information on everything if I could just dig it out. In fact, I found a picture and story written by Joe Ione when he was a writer for the Columbus Dispatch Sunday magazine. It was about the Orang Bang, and I think it was even before the Orang Bang, it was a story about Jim Thorpe and all of his guys, long time sleep. Now, here's the thing. The first Indian that's mentioned other than Jim Thorpe, they'll say, oh, long time sleep, yeah, remember him? Well, no, we can't remember him. That was before our time. Long time sleep was a ornery Indian. An OI, ornery Indian. And longtime sleep didn't have much talent except his physical strength, his stamina. He could run from Leroux to Marion, no problem at all, 18 miles, zippo. Here comes longtime sleep. And then he would end up in a bar somewhere in Marion and create mayhem. He liked to fight. He just loved to use his strength in different ways. And so he would. And that's all they remember long time sleep about. When Jim Thorpe and his other Indian friends left Leroux, long time sleep said, hey, I guess I'll just stay here and have some fun. And he did. He was a roust about, you might say, in bars around Leroux and all over. Oh, he created mayhem. But almost as much I had, my wife has an uncle far removed that was kind of like a copy of Long Time Sleep. And one night, her uncle was having a good time in Green Camp. Too good a time, and they locked him up. Have you ever seen the jail in Green Camp? That little one-room thing. Well, they put him in there and left him overnight. And I don't know how it happened, but overnight the jail caught on fire. And that was the end of that roustabout. Yeah. He got his upcomings in that little jail in Green Camp. 10:27 is the time. It's a great day, isn't it? Nice clear skies out there. Oh, and the buzzards are out there flying around saying, hey, get me out of here. It's getting cold. And so the buzzards are on their way to Tennessee shortly. There's a few of them that left already. And the rest of them will be leaving within, about a week. You'd be lucky if you saw a buzzard after a week has gone by. And so they go down to Tennessee and fly around a while and look for animals that have been met their all on the highway or just died of old age. and they take care of those. If it wasn't for buzzards, we'd be knee-deep in things that we don't want to be knee-deep in. But then the buzzards move on south. Now, one year, I was doing a program on Marion in Tampa, Florida. And it was a big convention center there, and I had a big display set up promoting Marion. At that time, I was promoting Stengel True Historical Museum, a Heritage Hall, the Palace Theater, Stengel True Home, and what else? But anyhow, just one morning, I got out of the hotel, and I'm walking up to the convention center in Tampa, and I look up, and the sky has probably a dozen buzzards flying, circling around. I thought, hey, hi, you guys. I remember where you're from. And so I waved to them. And people who saw me thought I was a little bit on the other side of life. And they probably were right. But I waved at the buzzards, said, good to see you again. Oh, boy. We're coming up on 10:30. I'll be back here in just a few seconds. Stay tuned. It's now exactly 10.
Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do, too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions, don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Every time I hear that announcement come on, I think it's Wheezy's or the Weasel's wife. I do. Morrill United Methodist Church on Neff Street. Can you find Neff Street if you're in Morrill? I hope so. They're having an old-fashioned farm breakfast this Saturday, the 26th, from 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Now, that would be... Oh, and by the way... This is James Anderson's day. That's right. James Anderson should be in today. He's usually here long before I am. But no James Anderson today. I hope he's not ill. But if he's in the area, maybe he can give me a call, too. Okay, but Morrill United Methodist Church will have that breakfast on Saturday morning, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., and... Okay, today is Thursday, so it'd be the 26th. This $6 for adults and $3 for kiddies. Children, $3 for kids, 12 and under. Like, hey, they can't eat as much as us adults, can they? So we'll only charge them $3. Okay. All you can eat, old-fashioned farm breakfast, a good fattening farm breakfast, you could call it. Sausage, gravy, and biscuits, bacon, sausage, pancakes, scrambled eggs, home fries, orange juice, and coffee will be on the menu. Carryouts available. The church is wheelchair accessible. That's good. I wonder if they're cane accessible. Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. That's this Saturday morning. 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. All right. Morrill. Yes. That's a good old town, the good old town of Morrill. That's where Charlton Myers lived. Yes, he had a big barn there in Morrill. Remember that? Now, here's something. The KU, just a second here, I get my eyes adjusted. The KUJI Men's Chorus from Marion Correctional and Healing Broken Circles presents a collaboration between KUJI Men's Chorus and Theater of Conviction. Would that be pronounced KUJI or just KUJI? The Hamilton Project is an 85-minute show that features Hamilton, Burr, Lawrence, Hercules, Mulligan, Washington, Madison, Jefferson, Lafayette, King George, and the KUJI singers. An ensemble all from KUJI Men's Chorus. Outside guest artists will take on the roles of Eliza, Angelica, and Peggy, with the impromptu singers Women's Ensemble. There will be three general admission performances in a two-day period. Deadline to register to be there, November 1st. Okay. Performance times, November the 8th at 6 p.m., November the 9th at 1 in the afternoon, November the 9th on Saturday at 6 p.m. Sounds like it'd be very worthwhile to be able to attend. Okay. And just remember, you have to go through procedure to get in there, naturally. Okay. But that's why they want you to let them know you're coming. All right. Now, I've got tickets to the zoo. And this thing they're talking about, Boo at the Zoo, what was that all about? I don't know. I've got individual tickets to the zoo. Kind of interesting. Or I've got doubles. And so whichever you'd like to have, a double or a single or whatever. Plus Bill Huntsman and his car. How's Bill Huntsman doing? Is he still active in car repair and so forth? Yeah. Bill's always been good at doing foreign cars and things like that. And so, interesting. Well, let me see. Yeah, he's the one that did that, the conversion or the rebuild of that one-door car. Remember that? Saw it in the parades, didn't you? Okay, here's a question. Now, if you can answer this, I'll give you a ticket. Not for speeding, but for answering. Okay. What was the name of the young man that Florence Harding had as a, you know, before she was married to Warren G? She was also affixed with another man in Marion, had a boy. What was his first name? What was the boy's first name? He's buried in the Marion Cemetery, but not in the Harding plot. It's kind of interesting. I often question that. What was his first name? You historians, 7403-39944. Give me a buzzeroo, and you could win a ticket to the zoo. All right. Oh, here's somebody that knows. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Was his first name Marshall?
Yes, it was Marshall. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Would you like a ticket to the zoo?
Yeah, could I have the one?
A what?
The two tickets?
Yeah, you can have two tickets to the zoo. You betcha.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, what's your name?
My name's Judy. Judy Summers.
Judy Summers. Oh, yeah, Judy.
Yeah.
Okay, we're open today until, what, 1 o'clock?
Well, it won't be today. It'll be probably tomorrow.
Okay. Very good, Judy.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye. Okay, Judy Summers, yes. Okay, Judy has won before. She's a good, steady listener. Let me write this down here. Well, I can still write. At my age, I'm not too bad for my age. Except I put the wrong date down here. Today is the 24th, isn't it? All day. Okay. Oh, I better put down two tickets to the zoo. Okay. Our first winner of today, I'll cross that off, Marshall. Yeah, Marshall is buried in the Marion Cemetery. Okay, now, there is a street in Marion named for a particular month of the year, that is. A street in Marion named after a month, what would that be? No, it's not December Street. It's not November Street or October Street. What is it? Name the street in Marion named after a month. Gee, I just noticed something. My wedding ring fell off. Good heavens. Where would that have gone? Isn't that weird? Oh, my land. I can't find it. Now, isn't that something? Let me look around here. I just noticed my wedding ring is missing. Oh, golly. I wonder if it's been missing earlier this morning. Well, that's weird. You know, a lot of times I just kind of fidget around and move that ring up and down. It's gone. My wedding ring is gone. I'll be son of a gun. Oh, boy, I hope I find that before the day is. I hope my wife is home. She can start looking for it. It would be probably, well, I don't know where. Okay. Isn't that something? My land. Wow, that's only two or three times that's happened, and right away I find it. Okay, now, what street in Marion is named after a month of the year? Or what street is named after a wristwatch? What street in Marion is named after a wristwatch? No, it's not Timex. 740-383-9944. Or if you'd like to call and comment on anything, I doubt if any of you ever remember going to Crystal Lake Park. Now, Jack Kellogg said he's been there. Yeah, Jack has always been my favorite person. I mean, Jack has been so well respected in Marion. It's just really, really neat to have him for a friend. Wow. Okay. What else do I have here? Let me see. Cartier's notes are left over from the air show. Oh, my. Just a second. And to put those in the waste can. Yeah. It was telling me what time the Marines are going to call. Oh. James Anderson called and will be in next week. Oh, good. Okay. All right. That's good. James, that's fine. Yeah. Good to hear. Okay. So, let me see what else is happening here. What street in Marion was named after a watch? It's not Gruen. Let me see. Yeah. Is it a school? Maybe it's a school named after a watch. Do you think? I don't know. I'll have to do a little bit of research on that to see whether that's a street or a school. Well, anyhow, I'll take either. I'll take the school or the street. Okay. And let me see here. I've got another street name or another town, a football team in another town. I would like to know there are at least two cities in Ohio with Redmond as the name of their football teams. Two of them, and they're not that far away either. What two cities within our listening area, actually, are the Redmen? 740-383-9944. I'm trying to think now. Galleon Tigers. but I can't remember the name of the other one now. Yeah, there's one north of here with Redmond. What? Oh, Bucyrus. Good grief. Yeah, I'm going to be eating dinner today with one of the stars of the 1952 football team of Bucyrus. And Herb Jones. I tell you, Herb is the nicest guy. He was a good guy. I mean, great baseball, football player, and just a good all-around individual. And when Herb would sing, his voice you could hear all over town. Herb has a voice that echoes, projects, you might say. He had been a singer for one of the churches. I don't know if he's still in their choir or not. But when Herb sang, you could hear him all over town. Good guy. All right. Now, what two teams within our listening area had Redmond for their title? What two teams in this area have Redmond? 7403-39944. Okay. Oh, my. Let me see. What else here? I've been working on questions for a couple of days and haven't had to use them, and now I am. Okay. But like I say, today we'll be in Bucyrus at the Tyners for a renewal of our acquaintances of my class of 1952. And you'd be surprised how good some of these kids are. I mean, probably better shape than me. But, we've lost a few. About every year we lose somebody. But as long as that somebody isn't you.
Scott, you know we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist. But actually, one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And we're back once again. We'll be here till noon today. Are any of you going trick-or-treating? Oh, there's so much candy about the Dayspring Methodist Church. Will have their bumper or trunk or treat this Sunday afternoon, and they're asking a lot of their parishioners to donate candy. They hand out tons of it every year. Oh, my. And then there's other trunk or treats around town. I think there's even a deal out at the park, at the Crawford County or Marion County Park District. Okay, with candy galore. Oh, I can see your teeth rotting now. But that's only if you don't brush your teeth. When you brush your teeth, you get rid of all that sugar that eats away at the enamel. Is that what happens? Or is the sugar in candy converted to something else, like acid, that eats away at your enamel? Now, that would be good to talk to a dentist, wouldn't it? If any dentists are listening, would like to call and tell what the proper procedure is after you eat so much candy. Okay, now, I think there is a street in Marion. I'm trying to think here, yeah. Named after a county in eastern Ohio. I think I asked that one other time, never got an answer. A street in Marion named after a county in eastern Ohio, along the Ohio River, as a matter of fact. Get out your Ohio... Oh, did you get an Ohio road map, a new one? I did. In fact, I got a handful of them at the Wyandotte County Fair. Now, isn't it interesting? At the Wyandotte County Fair every year, ODOT puts out this big display of road maps, encouraging everyone to take home a road map. You don't see that in Marion County, do you? Why? Why don't they do that in Marion County? And they don't do it, I'm sure. I haven't seen it. Okay, but what company, or what street in Marion is named after a county along the Ohio River? All right, and also, let's see. I'm trying to dream up of another question here. Yeah, can you tell me what the nickname, Columbus used to be Cowtown. Everybody referred to it as Cowtown. They don't anymore. Columbus is not a Cowtown anymore. But you can understand at one point, back many years ago, people referred to Columbus as kind of a rural area. That's anything but that now. In fact, it seems like anybody who wants to go to a high class anything, they go down to Columbus. Okay, so what I'm getting at is Columbus used to be Cowtown. New Washington, Ohio is Dutchtown. What was Bucyrus? I don't know. Was it Bratwurst Town? Bratwurst, capital of the world. Okay. What was the title given, in fun to the town of Cincinnati, Ohio? Cincinnati was once called what? Because it was big, big, big in animal. Shipping animals out and this and that. Oh, boy. But what was its name? What'd they call it? What'd they call Cincinnati? Okay, and 7403839944. Oh, here's somebody that knows. Okay, caller, go ahead.
The street that's named after the month, is that May Street?
May Street, yes, you're correct, yes.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. You want a ticket?
Okay, I'm not eligible, so okay. Just want to say
hello. Okay, very good. Okay, thanks. Okay, yeah. May Street, all right. Now tell me the street name that's named after that county along the Ohio River. Ooh. Okay, or tell me the nickname of... Oh, here we go. Yes, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Cincinnati, wasn't that the Hogtown?
Well, you're close to it. It wasn't quite Hogtown, but near that. You think about it.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. They call it, because they ship more pigs out of... they ship more pigs out of Cincinnati than anything at all. Than stars in the sky. So they named it after that. What was the name given to Cincinnati? That was back in another era. Oh, my. I doubt if anyone's living right now that can remember what was called what I'm asking for. Okay, now if you go north, there is a city in Crawford County. Ooh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead. Are you there, caller? Hello.
So then how did Cincinnati get the nickname the Queen City?
Well, because not all the guys that sold pork were straight up.
You lost me on that one.
Oh, really?
They didn't sell pork straight up.
Yeah, they kind of... Well, let me... I don't want to offend anybody.
Oh, what the hell. If you offend them, it wasn't because you intended to. It was because they had their own self-imposed rules.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Of morality.
So, what was the question you asked me?
Why is Cincinnati called the Queen City?
Oh, the Queen City. Okay. Because of all the queens up and down the street.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I would have thought that would be San Francisco's.
Well, it could be. I suppose they call each other in San Francisco Queenie.
Yeah, one never knows.
Yes.
Well, hey, you learn something new every day. And
oh, yeah.
Then again, hey, you get confusion every day these days.
Hey, did you hear Jack Kellogg today?
No, huh?
Oh, he was so good.
What was he?
Well, he was talking about his experiences as mayor and about politics. Jack is a good old guy. You know, how many mayors would ever say yes if I asked them to cook Spam in total darkness on a February morning?
Well, after that question you just raised, now a lot of them would. But, hey, you never know.
Yeah.
See, that's why we Marion City and Marion County, first need to appoint you as commander of fun. And then you can hand the reins over to somebody else.
Yeah,
we sorely need a commander of fun for this town and this county, you know?
They once had it.
They did?
I spent every day dreaming up more fun.
And visitors, yeah. The radio and everything else.
Now,
we need an official commander of fun.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like in the military, you have a morale officer.
Yes, you know? Yes. But, you know, what I did was so many years ago that nobody of today can clearly remember. Now, if I said today on the air, I'm going to get my canoe out of the barn and canoe down Kuqua Ditch, would people line up along the roads leading down Kuqua Ditch?
And if you had a great race from Marion to Waldo via the Kuqua Ditch.
Well, I had
it. It ends at the GNR Bar.
I had a great, you said exactly what I had down Grave Creek. We went down to Waldo from Marion, alongside the bank, three of us, me in one canoe and two in another, and we got sandwiches brought up to us from the GNR when we landed in Waldo.
Yeah, and then the second leg would be to Delaware.
Yes. But we had fun then. You know, it was a lot. People gathered at road crossings and would hand me food. Cookies. Oh, I never had so many cookies.
Oh, I did a documentary about Pat and Wags, Pat Still and Mark Wagner, QFM 96.
Yeah.
And we shot part of the documentary. They were on a billboard, and here it was, Good Friday. It was amazing. A number of things. People would bring them pizza. Food, all kinds of things while they're out there on the billboard. It's amazing what your listeners do.
People like to have fun. And when I brought about the peanut push, how many towns, none other town in America, ever has the mayor and others on their hands and knees pushing a peanut with their nose across an asphalt street?
And that's the most critical thing. A publicly elected official on their hands and knees.
Yes. Oh, my land. I think Mayor Church has been in it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people couldn't avoid it.
and you know, another thing that you were talking about a year or so ago, Soapbox Derby.
Yes.
You could have on Prospect Street Overpass.
That's right.
And you could probably get enough speed going down the overpass to cross Church Street and go down the hill to Columbia.
Well, that's for sure. I remember 1947 was one of the last of the soapbox derbies that I can remember. Well, I can't even remember. That took place before I came to Marion. But the soapbox that won that is hanging in Heritage Hall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That wasn't Pete Miller's, was it?
I don't know. That was before Pete Miller's time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Yes, indeed. But we got to have more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
I remember the time that somebody called me up and said they had an outhouse they would contribute to me if I just pick it up and bring it to the radio station. So I did. And put it out in the front yard. And then then went in my office and waited for the reaction. It was almost immediate. Evers, get that thing out of our yard. But it was fun. It got in the paper.
Yep. Well, we had a lot more reporters, and the paper was a lot bigger then, too.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad it can't get back to something like that, to the way it was.
Yeah.
But anyways, no, Marion City and County need to get a commander of fun, and that could be perhaps part of the job title or description of a person that does public relations, marketing, and advertising for the city and county.
Yeah, public relations is a big thing, yes.
Yep,
there should be somebody there ready to answer any questions and talk about, in an uplifting way, about the city of Marion. Skipping, of course, the other night with the League of Women Voters, which is another topic all by itself.
Yeah, I was unaware. I didn't even know that that was going on.
Well, I forgot about it, but apparently most of all the politicians forgot about it.
Yeah, so it...
And that's a bad example for a city that says Maid or Marion Maid.
Or you'll feel right at home.
Yes. Well,
I think we need to change that.
Yeah, that phrase came about in my Convention and Visitors Bureau of years ago. You'll feel right at home, yeah.
I think they've worn out their welcome on that when they need to come up with something else.
Yeah.
But anyways, whoever's listening, we need to get a commander of fun.
Yes,
so that we
indeed.
Can get things out month to month, look forward to something that's uplifting and fun.
Yeah. Can you imagine me wheeling Gil Gomez down Main Street in a wheelbarrow? And
I can imagine you wheeling Terry Tackett or Scott in a wheelbarrow down.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, no matter how much they weighed, I had an expert designing the seat, and I only had to lift 2.5 pounds. They calculated.
Yep, right over the axle of the wheel.
And then one year, I pushed a salesperson.
You got a commercial coming up.
Yeah. I pushed a guy across Marion and my two-wheel push cart once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Hey, see you later.
Okay.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs, did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as doing something this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen because, first of all, I think the way NBC itself has handled this is really not as smart as it could be. There could be a... they got to quit using words like mistake and error and start saying what the truth is. That's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their credibility and help themselves a lot, but they're not doing that. They're still willing to call it a mistake, and that's dumb. It is dumb.
Legendary actor from Barney Miller, Abe Vigoda.
I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm so grateful to God.
And from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. McFeely.
If there's anything you want, if there's anything...